What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to episode 78 of the Jake Talk Sports Podcast. It has been a while since we have done this. Last episode was episode 77, talking about rookie quarterbacks and other Seahawks-related stuff with J. Powell NFL. If you haven't listened to that episode, you're trying to catch up on the show, go ahead, go back and do that on Spotify. But we're back here. The reason why I haven't been doing this show for a long time is because I've been doing another show, and that's Run the North. So I've mentioned this in a lot of episodes previously, because when I started doing this, I kind of mentioned that Run the North would take priority and there wouldn't be as much production from the Jake Talk Sports Podcast. If you don't know what Run the North is in the first place, let me tell you. Me and my buddies Geek and Miller, if you listen to this podcast, you know those two very well. Started a podcast almost a year ago now. We're 1 month away from it being a year, called Run the North. It's us three. We record and publish episodes weekly, every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, outside of like holiday weeks and stuff. And we always update you guys when we don't post episodes. So if you're interested in that, we post every single week. We post consistently. So if you want to go check us out on YouTube or Spotify, it's Run the North Sports Podcast everywhere, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. Run the North Sports Podcast at Run the North Pod on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all the good stuff. So if you want to go and check out the show, because again, that's where consistent posts is going to be, and that's where a lot of my time is going to for content these days, then go ahead and check that out. But I do want to still post episodes on this podcast. We're still on the road to 100 episodes. So yeah, this is episode 78. We're going to be talking about NFL Week 14 today, breaking down all of the games, talking about my thoughts on them. We're going to talk about the Shohei Ohtani contract as he signs with the Dodgers, unfortunately. Bad for baseball, signing with the Dodgers. But we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about how the Raptors stink and some more NBA stuff that we need to catch up on. But before we get into all that, please be sure to do everything you can to help grow the podcast. Give us a rate and a review on Spotify. That'd be greatly appreciated. Go subscribe to me on YouTube at Jake Talk Sports. I'm going to be making videos on there, hopefully starting up again pretty soon. And then you can go follow me on Twitter at Jake Talk Sports 3, TikTok at Jake Talk Sports 03. All the good stuff if you want to keep up with me on a daily basis. Shout out to Anchor. They're not an official sponsor of this podcast, but they are what I use to produce this podcast. Shout out to Anchor for making this whole thing possible. Let's get right into it. All right, without further ado, let's hop right into it. Let's talk about NFL Week 14. Let's start on Thursday night. Patriots 21, Steelers 18. Bailey Zappe, masterclass in this game, something that I don't think anybody expected coming into it, not even the Patriots. Okay, they come into this game at 2-10. The Steelers come in at 7-5. Steelers have been bad recently. Matt Canada being fired was supposed to kind of spark this offense, spark this team. It happened for 1 week, and now we're kind of back to being the same old Steelers that we've seen in years past. Mitch Trubisky starting obviously doesn't help, but he wasn't much worse than Kenny Pickett would have been. Kenny Pickett was a guy that I was super high on coming into this year. I said on Run the North that I thought that he was going to end up being a top half of the league starter or better. Obviously, I'm wrong about that. I made my apology on that show about that take. There were 0 points scored in the second half by the Patriots here, and they still won the football game. That's how bad the Steelers' offense was. Okay, obviously, this is a good New England defense. They're not, like, terrible. Belichick's still a good defensive head coach. And so you have to wonder, if the Steelers do make the playoffs, do they have any hope? And the answer is absolutely not. I don't think they will make the playoffs. Okay, the Colts are still good. Okay, the Colts are 7-6. The Bengals are 7-6. The Bills are 7-6. I mean, the Bills are the 11th seed in the AFC right now, and they're 7-6. That is absolutely insane. We'll talk about the Bills later, but the Bills are 7-6, and they're the 11th seed. That's how competitive this conference is, and the Steelers, out of all the teams in that mix, are absolutely the team I trust the absolute least to stay in one of those positions. I mean, the Bengals can clearly play good football without Joe Burrow. Not to say that Joe Burrow isn't good. Obviously, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But they have proved that they can play good football without Joe Burrow. Jake Browning played and has been playing decent. I mean, he played a decent game against Jacksonville. Got them the win there. Obviously, he got hurt in the middle of this Colts game. But he ended up coming back, and even with A.J. McCarron, their offense still could kind of function. And so you have to wonder, like, are the Steelers going to be able to compete with the Bengals come December and rest of December and January? I don't think so. But looking at the Patriots side of things, all they really did here was just ruin their chance at the number one overall pick. I mean, now they're two games ahead behind the Panthers for the pick. I don't think it's going to happen, or rather the Bears. I don't think it's going to happen for the Patriots. They are still probably going to pick second or third, and either way, I think that ends up resulting in them getting Drake May. I think Caleb Williams goes first overall to the Bears. I see scenarios in my head where Justin Fields is the guy and the Bears either trade the pick or use it on Marvin Harrison Jr. I see scenarios like that. I think the scenario in my head that probably is like the most likely for him to be safe is that they make the playoffs. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I don't think they're good enough to make the playoffs. I obviously they beat the Lions, and that's a good thing. But they're in the hunt, and so if they make the playoffs, maybe Justin Fields' job is safe, and the Patriots end up with Caleb Williams anyway because we know the Cardinals aren't taking a quarterback. The Cardinals could trade out, but you know, if the Bears pick a quarterback, then there's no reason for them not to stick and pick Marvin Harrison Jr. But yeah, I mean, Patriots are picking second overall. They're getting one of the top two quarterbacks at the current moment, especially if the Cardinals win like one or maybe even two more games with Kyler back. But like I said, Bailey Zappe, 19 for 28, 240 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. The pick is whatever, you know, it's the Steelers defense. It's Bailey Zappe. But 240 yards and three touchdowns, that's pretty darn good. I mean, the Patriots only had three active receivers in this game. They had Tyquan Thornton, they had Juju Smith-Schuster, and they had Jalen Reagor. The other receiving targets were Ty Montgomery, who might be a receiver. I don't know what they label him as anymore. Ty Montgomery, Farrell Brown, the tight end, Hunter Henry, the tight end. Like, and Zeke, obviously, the running back. But, like, and no Ramondre Stevenson, and Zeke had a good game. He had 3.1 yards a carry, had a receiving touchdown in the opening possession. He had seven catches for 72 yards and a tutty, which is crazy. Juju Smith-Schuster, in his little revenge game, had four catches for 90 yards. Overall, just, I think you really have to like what you saw out of the Patriots' defense. You know, being against Mitch Trubisky isn't the hardest thing in the world, but they still did it. Jabril Peppers is playing pretty well, even after what he said to Saquon last week. And overall, the Patriots played a great game, and I think they got to be super proud of what they're putting together on defense, at least. Offensively, if you're a Patriots fan, just hope that it's Caleb Williams or Drake May. This was a huge surprise here. Jets 30, Texans 6. I tweeted this out. I'm gonna say it here too. I legitimately think, with Aaron Rodgers this entire season, the Jets are maybe a one-loss team. Maybe two. I mean, Zach Wilson threw for 301 yards and two touchdowns. They just beat the Texans by 24 points. The Texans, one of the hottest teams in the NFL, in a playoff spot in the AFC, which is a hard conference. They go into MetLife and just get pounded by these Jets. Now, Zach Wilson, listen, and I tweeted this out too. After what I saw out of Zach Wilson on Sunday, I don't know if the benching sparked him or something, but after what I saw, I have legitimately zero idea how anybody in the Jets organization believed that Tim Boyle could spark the offense or give the offense more than Zach Wilson can. I don't understand. This dude just threw for 301 yards and two touchdowns. He's the first quarterback that we've seen play for the Jets since his benching that even remotely supported this defense. Like, the Tim Boyle Black Friday game against the Dolphins is going to go down in history as one of the worst quarterback performances we've ever seen. Now, Zach Wilson has had his stinkers, and I think they were justified in benching him, but I don't understand benching him for Tim Boyle or even Trevor Siemian. I understand benching him if there's a guy that maybe could actually win a football game for you. But Zach Wilson, I think, gives him the best chance to win. I think if Rodgers doesn't come back, which it's coming out that he's going to come back December 24th on Christmas Eve on Sunday against the Commanders. Why? I don't know. I mean, they have to win out to even have a chance at a playoff spot. And even winning out puts them in 9-8, and that is still a tough draw in the AFC. I'm not entirely sure that's a playoff team. It depends on what the Bills do. It depends on what the Bengals and the Colts do, and the Texans, rather. And they already have the head-to-head against the Texans now. But Stroud, 10 for 23, 91 yards. Jets defensive masterclass. Sauce Gardner was fantastic today. No Nico Collins and no Tank Dell really hurt this Texans offense. I think that's a serious concern. I mean, they had Nico Collins coming into this game. He got hurt. Tank Dell is obviously out for the season. Without those two guys, that receiving core gets real scary, real fast, and it showed in this game. They had nobody who could beat the Jets defense, nobody who could make a play against them. Their leading receiver was Brevin Jordan with 3 catches for 35 yards. Like I said, no Nico Collins, no Tank Dell, just Noah Brown is your top receiver. It gets ugly, especially against the Jets defense. So this result actually isn't too surprising considering the circumstances. I think that this is a very underrated upset pick for this week because we have to understand what the Jets defense has done to literally every quarterback they've played this year except for Dak. And so, yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson played a great game. Probably one of the better ones we've seen him play ever, if not the best one we've ever seen him play ever. 27 for 36 for 301 and 2 touchdowns is not what you would expect from Zach Wilson in any football game. So I think he played well. Jets get a win. Rodgers is coming back, so who knows? Maybe they make a late run at the wild card, but I doubt it. Rams 31, Ravens 37. So the backwards. Just said the Ravens score first. So the backwards. But Ravens 37, Rams 31. This was one of, if not the best game of the week. Matthew Stafford absolutely cooked in this game. 294 and 3 touchdowns. He was throwing lasers. Lamar Jackson was good, as he always is. 11 carries, 70 yards, 24 for 43 passing, 316 yards. 3 touchdowns and a pick for him. Kyren Williams is legit. 25 carries, 114 yards. He was just about single-handedly won the Rams this game. Obviously, the Ravens, they're a better team, but the Rams, I think, are really intriguing in the NFC wildcard race. Obviously, they're out of a playoff spot right now because the Packers have a tiebreaker over them, but they're a really interesting team to look at in this race because they are good. Like, this offense is good with Puka and Cooper both healthy. They are good. Kyren Williams is good. The offensive line is still bad, but Matthew Stafford is playing at a high level. I don't see any reason why they can't make a run at the wild card. The defense is stepping up. I mean, obviously giving up 37 is whatever, but that's the Ravens offense, and their offense, the Rams offense, was still able to keep themselves in the game, and so in reality it doesn't hurt too badly. And then obviously the Ravens walk it off with a punt return touchdown. I don't know what you're gonna do about that. I mean, that's just a tough break for the Rams. But yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson is cooking. The Ravens are the best team in the AFC. The Rams, I think, I think they're a legit wild card threat. Come January, I think they're going to be on a nice run. Up until then, I think they have a good chance of making the playoffs. Saints 28, Panthers 6. I mean, the Panthers just suck, man. Saints suck too. Listen, I don't think anybody in the NFC South should have a job. Any coach in the NFC South should have a job after this year. Maybe Arthur Smith. But they already fired Reich. We're already one down. Dennis Allen should not be a head coach in the NFL. Todd Bowles should not be a head coach in the NFL. Those two guys, get them out. Arthur Smith, probably even him too. Get him out. They just lost to the Bucs. But Bryce Young, 137 yards passing. I mean, he's doing everything he can. He just doesn't have the team around him. The offensive line sucks. The receivers suck. His leading receiver this game and for the entire season was Adam Thielen. Chuba Hubbard, running the ball pretty well these past couple of weeks, but Derek Carr is the real story because the Saints hate this guy. Eric McCoy was Gerald McCoy, just screaming at him after a sack. I mean, they're doing everything they can. Carr has been terrible this year. He has stunk this year. Don't let the 28 points on the board fool you. I mean, he has barely looked at Olave all season, at least this game at least. He barely looked at Olave until the end zone. The only receiver was A.T. Perry with 44 yards. I mean, the Saints offense sucks. No team in the NFC South deserves a playoff spot, and one of them has to get one. But the NFC South is always like this. They're always just the worst teams in the NFL. It's always the AFC South. Sorry, the NFC South. The Carolina Panthers, they suck. They are going to lock up the Bears' number one overall pick. And that's going to be just stupid, and I hate it. But, yeah, overall, Derek Carr, 119 for 2 TDs, a pick. He's whatever. I think he's a really bad quarterback. He's been bad all season, has not been good at all this season. Really bad, really bad signing. I think we can talk about that as one of the worst free agent signings of the offseason, if not the worst. Saints take care of business. They take care of the worst team in the NFL, as they should. Bengals 34, Colts 14. Jake Browning 275, 2 touchdowns, a pick. Gardner Minshew 240, a touchdown, a pick. Very similar quarterback stat lines, but in reality, I mean, the Bengals are just a better football team than the Colts are all around. I mean, Zach Taylor is utilizing his weapons, Chase Brown, Joe Mixon, two guys. So that's a pretty good duo at running back, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. I mean, they can still be a competitive football team without Burrow. Nowhere near as competitive as they would be with Burrow right now. But they can still be a competitive football team. They can still make the playoffs. They won't go far in the playoffs. They won't win a game in the playoffs. But without Burrow, they can still be competitive. They're proving that. I mean, the Colts are not some team to be, like, joking about. Like, they're they were 7-5 coming into this game. Shane Steichen is in legitimate head coach of the year talks. Like, you have to understand that, like, this isn't just some, like, fraudulent win. They beat a current playoff team who was 7-5 coming into this game by 20. With Jake Browning at quarterback. And so, obviously, Jake Browning is hurt. I think he came back, but McCarron only threw one pass, so he must have come back. But yeah, they're utilizing their skill players. Zach Taylor is actually coaching well, kind of. I think that he was the guy who I was talking about a lot in hot seat conversations when the season first started, just because of how poorly they started the season. But obviously, you know, no Burrow means they probably won't go much farther. The battle for the lead in the NFC South, Buccaneers 29, Falcons 25. I don't think either of these teams is a playoff team, but one of them has to be. I think the Desmond Ridder experiment is over. I mean, made some nice throws, was able to use his legs a bit. He had four carries for 15 yards and a tutty. But he threw a horrendous pick that led to Buccaneers points. They're still – Bijan Robinson averaged 3.4 yards carry. He had 10 for 34. Drake London, they finally realized that if they use Drake London, good things will happen. 10 catches, 172 yards. Kyle Pitts had 3 for 57 and a touchdown. Bijan Robinson had 5 catches. The passing game, they were utilizing their guys. And it wasn't like the worst – performance from Ridder ever, but it's just he's not the guy and he's not going to be the guy. On the Bucs side of things, Rashad White, 4.1 yards of carry. Dude's him. I like him a lot. Mike Evans had one catch for 8 yards. I don't know what's going on there. I did not watch this game. I was watching Red Zone, so I saw bits and pieces. Mike Evans wasn't on Red Zone much. So I don't know what's going on with Mike Evans, if he was playing hurt or if he just was not at all involved in the offense. But Chris Godwin led them in receiving with 5 catches and 53 yards. Overall, a very solid Baker game, 14 for 29, 144, and 2 touchdowns. But overall, like I said, neither of these teams deserve a playoff spot. One of them has to get one. Even the Saints could get one. They all have the same record. I mean, it's anybody's division still. But I think the Falcons are probably the team I trust the most. Maybe the Bucs, because Baker's better than Ridder. I think the Bucs are the team I trust the most in the playoffs from the NFC South. So I do hope it's them, and it is them currently. Trevor Lawrence decided that he was going to start this week, and the Browns beat them 31-27. It was a close game. It ended up only being 4 points, but if you watch the game, it wasn't actually that close. Lawrence threw 3 picks, also threw 3 touchdowns, 2 for 257 yards on 28 completions. Overall, Joe Flacco is playing good football. In 2023, that is something that I would have never expected myself to say this year, is that Joe Flacco was playing good football. I wasn't even expecting to say that Joe Flacco was playing football, period. I wasn't even expecting to say that, right? And for some reason, he is. 3-11, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. David Njoku had a great game. I love David Njoku. I think he's a really good tight end. Overall, like, dude, Flacco is going to get this team to the playoffs. And I'm not sure if they're going to win a playoff game. That defense, if they manage to somehow host a playoff game in the wild card, they will win because their defense at home is absolutely insane. Their defense is lights out in general. I mean, they don't play as good on the road as they play at home, but they still play really good on the road. So they played this home game. They got 3 picks off of Trevor Lawrence, who obviously is one of the league's better quarterbacks. Like I said, David Njoku was really good. Amari Cooper was good. The Jaguars, Evan Engram was a leading receiver. Calvin Ridley had a few catches for 53 yards. He's weird. I'm seeing Jaguars fans say they don't want him back next season. I mean, like, we talked about this trade back when it first happened last year while he was suspended. Like, we went on Run the North, and we said, all of us were like, this is a great trade. Like, it's MVP Lawrence season. He hasn't even been anywhere near those conversations this year. And Calvin Ridley has not been nearly as impactful as I expected him to be. I'm thinking most people expected him to be better than what he is right now. So it's weird. They had one sack on one of the world's most immobile quarterbacks. They had one sack. Obviously, Lawrence wasn't very mobile, and they were able to get four sacks off of him because he was still hurt. Jaguars are 8-5. They should be fine, but there are some really concerning holes in their team that really need to be addressed. Speaking of good teams with holes, Bears 28, Lions 13. Jared Goff might just stink. He might just stink. It was a bad game for him. He threw two picks. One of them was a prayer ball on 4th and 10 that, for some reason, Dan Campbell decided was a good idea to go for it on. I don't necessarily blame him for that, but the story here is Justin Fields. 12 carries, 58 yards and a touchdown, 19 for 33 passing, 223 yards, one touchdown. That's good. He played a good game. And like I said at the top of the show, I'm not entirely sure if he's the guy in Chicago. If they make the playoffs, I think he definitely is. But I'm not sure if he's earned his job back yet, but he is fighting for it like a madman right now. DJ Moore was great, had a rushing touchdown. Obviously, they did a good job of getting the defense offsides in that 4th-and-3 play that ended up getting the touchdown for DJ Moore. Overall, really, really good performance offensively and defensively for the Bears. One of the most complete games we've seen them play. The defense was good. Jalen Johnson was good. 13 tackles on his own for Jaquan Brisker and 17 total. Monster. That dude is a monster. Their next best was 7 tackles from Tremaine Edmonds. He out-tackled their second-leading tackler by 10. And then Tremaine Edmonds had the second pick. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney, really good receiving trio. They can run the football pretty effectively. They had, you know, obviously over 100 yards rushing total with Foreman and Moore and Fields. And overall, yeah, I mean, just a really complete game by the Bears. The Lions, they're in trouble, man. They are in trouble. They're not playing good enough football to win a playoff game, whether they're at home or not, because you can make the home argument, but they just lost on national TV on Thanksgiving, one of the biggest days of football of the year, at home to the Packers, and got absolutely pounded, too. The box score won't tell you that. Watching it will. They got pounded by the Packers at home on national TV on one of the biggest days of football of the year. They're in trouble. Their defense stinks. They suck. Like, very, very good thing. Few good things about that defense. Very, very, very few good things about that defense. I think everybody who's ever watched a football game this season can agree with that. But yeah, Bears in the playoff hunt. They're there, thinking yoffs maybe. They're in the playoff hunt. They are just one game back of pretty much everybody. Who's in contention for the 7th seed. Nobody else really. Nobody else really is too far ahead of them. Breaking news. Justin Herbert is done for the year. They were not in contention for anything, really, but that just sucks. The worst year to be a quarterback in the NFL, like, no doubt about it. It sucks. That sucks to see. So, yeah, Justin Herbert done. Easton Stick looks to be their starter for the rest of the year. But, yeah, speaking of guys who shouldn't have started, or don't usually start, Drew Lock. Drew Lock started a football game, obviously, in place of the injured Geno Smith. Niners 28, Seahawks 16. Drew Lock 22 for 31, 269 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Played a good game. The first half, at least I hear. He kind of unraveled in the second half. It's kind of what he does. But he played a lot better than I think anybody expected him to. I mean, they only lost the game by 12 points, which, if I'm not mistaken, is less than they lost by. Yeah, they lost by 18 with Geno. Now it's time to push some narratives. Is Drew Lock the answer for the Seahawks offense? He might just be. Christian McCaffrey's the MVP. That's another thing that I can gather from this game. 16 carries, 145 yards for CMC. And only one catch to boot, but they had 200 receivers in Debo and Ayuk. Those two ate apart the defense. Kittle ate apart the defense with 3 catches for 76 yards and a touchdown. Defense was good. Nick Bosa had a sack and a half. They were able to get, you know, 4 sacks on Drew Lock, and overall, just a really good game for the Niners. I mean, they are the most complete team in football. They're the best team in football. I'm not seeing anybody who beats them healthy in the NFC, and probably not even the AFC either, which is obviously a lot better of a conference. But I don't think anybody, if the Niners are healthy, I don't think anybody beats the Niners. I mean, obviously they have their losses on the year, but all 3 of those games, they were missing Debo and Trent Williams. Second, those guys are back. They haven't lost a game since then. They're the most complete team. They might have the MVP on their team with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, there is no reason to believe that anybody in the NFC can beat them on the way to the Super Bowl, because the 2 teams that could have, they just smacked. They smacked the Eagles. This is a new Cowboys team that we're seeing, but they smacked the Cowboys when they played. I would have loved to have had that game now, because I would love to see what the Cowboys currently could do against the Niners, as opposed to that early game that really didn't end up meaning much. Vikings 3, Raiders 0. Both these teams suck. Josh Dobbs got benched for Nick Mullins. That's all I have to say. These teams just suck. The Vikings suck. They suck. Them being 7-6 is disgusting. They have not earned a single bit of that. Speaking of Justin Herbert, Broncos 24, Chargers 7. Yeah, Russ was okay. Javonte was okay. Austin Eckler was okay. Easton Stick is their quarterback now. Courtland Sutton's really, really freaking good. He's got a highlight reel this year. Bills Chiefs, as Patrick Mahomes said, one of the weirdest, one of the oddest, one of the worst calls I've ever seen. They were bad. They did not deserve to win this football game. And Kadarius Toney was offsides by a country mile. I don't know how you can look at that. I'm not sure if he did before, but I don't know how you can look at that and complain that much. Mahomes is just a crybaby. He is. I mean, like, that is the most loser talk I have ever heard out of Patrick Mahomes. That is loser talk. So going on the podium in the press conference after and being like, oh, well, it didn't affect the play at all, so why would you call it? Because it's a penalty. It is very clearly offsides. I mean, it's dumb. He is, oh, man. I get that he doesn't have help and he's earned a little bit of right to be frustrated, but the fact that he went to Josh Allen and instead of saying, good luck the rest of the season, man, or good game, really pulling for you, stay healthy, we'll see you guys again, he just goes up to him and he just says, hey, man, like, oh, you see that call? You see how terrible that call was? That was a really bad call. I hated that call. It's so stupid. And Josh just kind of pats him on the chest and walks away, because why would he say anything to that? What is he supposed to say? Like, yeah, worst call ever. You guys should have won the football game. Like, no, that's not how that works. Scout, do you have any comments? Got my dog here with me. I'm going to see if he has any comments. Scout, do you have any comments? Okay, he's got nothing. But I think he would agree. But the Bills, good game. James Cook, 58 yards on the ground, 83 through the air with a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, they were up 14-0 in this game. Obviously, Jerick McKinnon gets his touchdown. Rashee Rice gets his touchdown. 17-14. But the Chiefs never had the lead. So, you can complain all you want about the rest, but you never held the lead. So you weren't going to win the game anyway. Eagles-Cowboys. Cowboys 33, Eagles 13. Eagles might just be in rough shape. Might be in rough shape. I don't know if they are. Jalen Hurts did not play a good game. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith both fumbled in crucial situations. The Cowboys defense played out of its mind. Dak's playing out of his mind. Dak is my MVP pick right now. Dak's playing great. He had a great throw to convert with Michael Gallup to really put the game away. 33-13, they absolutely pounded them. The Cowboys are playing great football. They're on the hunt for that one seed. They're on the hunt for at least the NFC East. I mean, the Eagles are going to have to be real careful in these next few weeks, because the Cowboys are right there, and one slip up from the Eagles and the division lead is the Cowboys. So, yeah, overall, a really good game. The Cowboys defense is legit. Dak is playing the best football of his career. This might actually be the Cowboys' year. It might actually be the Cowboys' year. Giants 24, Packers 22. I'm going to save my big rant for Run the North, and I said this on TikTok too. It just sucked, man. It was bad. Jordan Love tried to make a throw that he in no way couldn't in that wind. I think he could have made on that pick. I promise you, in a dome, he's making that throw, but not at MetLife with the wind whipping. No way. A.J. Dillon had a decent game. Tucker Kraft had a really good game. I love to see it. The offense in the second half really settled in and started to cook. They got off to a slow start, and the defense stunk, and Joe Barry stinks. And the one thing that I'm going to say about Joe Barry and why I'm so frustrated with him is because the last drive of the game, it's under a minute left. All the Giants need is a field goal. And they are playing the softest, just completely off the line of scrimmage, 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, every single play coverage. And so all Tommy DeVito has to do is dink and dunk his way down the field to get into field goal range. They had one big play to Wandale Robinson, which again was a product of them playing just deep zone coverage, because Wandale, all he had to do was get in behind somebody, and the safety wasn't going to be able to close in on him from the top quick enough because he's playing so far off because of the stupid scheme Joe Barry is running. What he had to do in that situation is dare Tommy DeVito to throw it deep. Do not just give him check down after check down after check down. Dare him to throw it deep. Because I guarantee you he wouldn't have, because he can't. A young quarterback who stinks. And listen, maybe not stinks, but he's not good. Dare him to throw that deep. Because he will not. And if he tries it, it's going to be a pick or a bad incompletion. I promise you that. Stop letting yourselves just play soft coverage and letting people get in behind you, letting them dink and dunk their way and get to the boundaries and everything. It was just a horrible display of play calling on defense on that last drive. And that's the reason why they won, is because all Tommy DeVito had to do was just throw a little 3-yard dink and dunk pass to somebody who ended up getting 6 or 7 yards of rack. Because why? Because why? Because there's nobody there, because they're all playing so far off. That's the only reason the Giants won this football game, is because Joe Barry sucks. We would have won this game 22-21 if he had just dared Tommy DeVito to throw it deep. But for some reason, he just refused to do that. And then finally, Titans-Dolphins 28, Dolphins 27. What a game. Dolphins led by 2 scores with 3 minutes left. Titans did not give up. They went right at him. Will Levis is a dog. Will Levis is a dog. He was diming them up. On those last two possessions, he was playing very well. Tua was okay. Tyreek being hurt just kind of shut this offense down. And the defense, it's inexcusable to give up 14 to a 4-8 in less than 3 minutes to a 4-8 Titans offense that has been okay, but just doesn't have the pieces quite yet. To give that up, DeAndre Hopkins is fantastic, and that's exactly why they won this game. Tajay Spears, fantastic. 6 catches for 89 yards. He also rushed for 29. I mean, just... They, for some reason, the Dolphins just cannot beat good teams or even bad teams. They can't beat anybody for some reason, and I just don't get it. I do not get it. I don't understand it. They are on fraud watch, for sure. I mean, losing to the Titans in this crucial of a game for their standing, I mean, they're lucky that the Chiefs lost and the other one-seed teams are still right around the same record. I mean, the Ravens are only one game ahead of them. That Ravens game is going to be huge for the Dolphins that's coming up. That Ravens game is going to be absolutely massive. But, yeah, I think the Dolphins, especially if Tyreek is still kind of hobbling around next week, could be in real trouble. All right, we're going to quickly talk Shohei. We're going to skip the basketball talk for this episode, just for time's sake. I don't want my episodes being too long. And also, I can't talk for that long just on my own. So I'm definitely going to be getting some guests on the podcast. But let's talk about Shohei real quick. He signs a 10-year, $700 million contract with Los Angeles Dodgers. And not only does he do that, excuse me, he then decides to only get paid $20 million over the next 10 years of the actual contract. That's $2 million a year for the next 10 years where he's getting paid. And then he's going to make $68 million a year from 2034 to 2043, when he might not even be playing baseball. He might not even be playing baseball at that point. I mean, in 2043, 20 years from now, he'll be 49. He will not be playing baseball. In 10 years from now, when this contract is up, he'll be 39. He probably won't be playing baseball anymore, especially with how strenuous his play style is with being a pitcher and a hitter. In 2034, when he is sitting on his couch, retired, he will be making $68 million a year for the next 10 years of his life. How is that allowed? I don't understand. It's bad for baseball. That I'm going to say it. Hot take. Shohei Ohtani contract. Bad for baseball. Make the headline. Tell them I said it. Okay? But it's crazy. But this is one of the biggest contracts in MLB history. It's good for the sport to get players paid like this, especially a guy who's just so talented. I hate that he's on the Dodgers, but he's really, really good, and it's going to be a fun time to see him playing for a team that actually can compete, unlike his other Los Angeles team that he played for. But yeah, Shohei, huge contract. I'm just wondering now who the first billion-dollar athlete will be if it's not going to be a soccer player. So yeah, I mean, overall, great contract. I just wish he was a J. All right, that's our show for today. If you guys did enjoy this episode of the Jake Talk Sports Podcast, please be sure to do everything you can to help grow the podcast. Give us a rate and review on Spotify. Go check me out on all my other platforms to support me and all my other endeavors with content. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Like I said, I'm going to try and get back into these episodes a little bit more consistently than I have been. But if you are looking for just genuine top-tier consistent posting, go check out One of the North. We're building something special over there. If you want to hop on the bandwagon now, might as well do it early so you can say you were there before we blew up, you know? So we're building something special over there. I really appreciate it if you go and check out One of the North, at One of the North Pod everywhere. And I'll see you guys next time.